Open them up to Exodus chapter 13. Page 55 in the Black Pew Bibles. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. And by day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. And neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. This is the word of the Lord. Another way to look at it in the English Standard Version, the NIV said the roads. The word is probably better put the way. God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, but God led the people around by the way of the wilderness. So if you can see on page 5, there's a map there. A map of the Exodus. As best we can piece together based on the Torah, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. And if you were to take your pencil and draw a straight line from the upper left-hand corner, the city of Ramses, those cut off, and you were to draw a straight line to the top right-hand corner, the land that was promised to the Israelites, the land that they would eventually inherit, that straight line would be a much shorter route than the one that you found there. Isn't that the case? Instead of going straight there, measurable in hundreds of miles, they were led down to the tip of the Sinai Peninsula, and back up again, and left and right a few times for a period of 40 years. As we start this series, the question to be asked is this, is that why does God not lead us from point A to point B in a straight line? And if you look at your own life, and if you were to map it out, as it were, not in terms of just where you've lived, so to speak, but from where you started to where you are now, would your life be best described as a straight line? Or would your life be described as kind of doodles that you might find on your 3-year-old's piece of paper? For me, there is no straight line to my life. The twists and the turns were not things that I had planned. The places I ended up were not those that I had put on my map. The hardships that came my way were not those that I had hoped to endure. And there were many points along the way where I asked the question, why am I here? And yet, when I go back over that line, whether it felt like absence, whether it felt like struggle, or it felt like disappointment, I also see surprising points of joy. I see mountain peaks, even at times when it felt like valleys. I still remember climbing a mountain in Montana with a Bible camp staff crew, and we climbed this mountain in the midst of the fog, the early morning fog. And our point was to get up to the top and to kind of gaze out over the lake and have a devotional moment in which we kind of got to take in the beauty of what we were seeing. It's the whole point of climbing a mountain, is you want to see something at the top of it. Well, the whole journey was encapsulated by fog. We get to the top, it's still foggy, and right about the time when we were about to go down, it just opens up. And you got to see something, got to see the beauty of the view that was largely dominated by fog. And yet the little glimpse was enough to make the journey worthwhile. The little glimpse was a confirmation that we were on the right trail and at the right spot. But it sure didn't feel that way for a long time. My guess is that when you look at your own journey, you can have very much the same understanding of your life as being one led at times in the wilderness way. And that's what we want to do in the midst of this series, as we walk along with the Israelites in the desert and see the ways in which their own lives intersect with our own in remarkable ways. That their own failures are the similar failures that we experience, that their own frustrations are similar frustrations that we take out, that their own doubts are ones that we, in fact, experience at times when we least expect it, and yet at times we see God's amazing provision even in the midst of a lacking and wanting. So let's try to understand who they were a little bit and why God led them this way as we begin this process. Not a long discussion, but one that I think is going to be very helpful as we go along. Well, who were they? God led a people out. Who were they? They were a people who had spent quite a bit of time. This is post-Joseph, who had risen up to the halls of power in Pharaoh's court, and now some 400 years had passed, and these Hebrew people, with their own particular beliefs and their own particular ways of understanding the world and God, had been overtaken completely by the power of the Egyptians, and they were an oppressed people. They were held as their slaves for some 400 years. And in the process, there, in the midst of this slavery, a guy named Moses shows up with his brother Aaron and says, you know what, you're going to go free. And they laughed at him. They thought, this is so silly. And it took 10 miraculous experiences of God's power and might shown upon the power of the Egyptians for them to kind of begin to see the process. That what God is, this distant God that they had memories of, was in fact now acting on their behalf. And the last plague, they had to leave in haste in the middle of the night to wake up and to grab what they could in order to be led out into the wilderness, because God knew what was in fact going to be happening, because even as Pharaoh was letting them go, he would very quickly be doubting what he had decided to do. We'll catch up with that next week. And so you have an oppressed people in haste, leaving what they've known, walking out into the wilderness with what little they could grab in a very quick time in order to escape. And now a much larger group moving out. The text says over 600 men, not including women and children. We're talking a few million. It's a lot of people to move. It's a lot of people to press on into the desert. And this people were going out simply through what they had seen most recently in their lives and a memory of this God that was theirs. And they really didn't know him. They didn't know him as Moses knew him, and they began the process of learning once again who he was and why he was leading them. In other words, they were a people who had yet to be formed in the ways of God. There's a lot of work to be done. It wasn't as if, don't get me wrong, God had been completely forgotten. But in the midst of slavery, in the midst of fear, you begin to doubt his power and his presence. And the formation of this people of God was the critical first step for them to begin this process of being formed once again into the people of God. And it's very important for us in the midst of our own understanding of the Christian faith is that we see it not simply as a moment in which something new begins, but it's actually the first step in which formation begins to happen. It's a critical word in spiritual discipleship in the Christian faith, that we need to be formed into someone that we are not. And it's important for us to understand these things because it's not merely what we believe that makes us Christians. It's also how we live in light of what we believe that makes us Christians. Who we are is a critical piece of how we will respond to adversity along the way. Very good to believe, for example, in the Ten Commandments and to think that they are wisdom for God's life. It's a very other thing to put it into practice, to actually be people guided by this wisdom. It's one thing to say, you know, I abhor dishonesty, but then are we people who are guided by and led by honesty? We can say that we abhor nasty, slanderous speech, but do we engage in nasty, slanderous speech? We can say that we are against oppressing others. We stand for justice, but do we actually condone injustice when it comes around? The questions can go on and on and on, but what God is beginning to do in the process of formation is to create a people who actually live as if what they believed was true. And he took people who were beaten down, and he knew what he had to do when he led them out. It's going to take a lot of time to get this group in order. In other words, they didn't come out of Egypt as a Navy SEAL team. They did not come out of Egypt as we talked about the boys in the boat, the rowing team from the University of Washington, all trim, all in shape, ready to go, willing to tackle the most formidable teams in the world. They didn't. It's a long process ahead of being trained and being formed, which is why the text says God led them into the wilderness. He did not lead them by the way of the Philistines, but he led them by the roundabout way through the wilderness. It just sets the stage for what he's about to do. And he does this for a reason. He knows that who they are is not who they need to be. He knows the struggles they will be facing are very much going to get in the way of what is going to come between them and their road to the promised land. What is the way of the Philistines? He didn't lead them by that way. Well, just in terms of actualities, it's the quick way. It was a very formidable trading route. It was a very much a civilized walk, even though later we'll see how crazy the Philistines were. But it was the way of culture. It was the way of cultural dominance, power. It was simply the road you would choose if you were getting to Canaan. And yet the Lord's fear is, he said, they might change their minds because war would come upon them and they would have to, and they would be likely turning around and hightailing it back to slavery. It's fascinating when you look at the deliverance of God being led out now to future battles that might lie ahead, and the temptation that slavery might be better than the war we face in front of us, the struggles that come our way. But the way of the Philistine, I think, this is my view, is also the way of cultural accommodation. It is the way of the quick fix, the self-made religions. The Philistines had a number of gods like Dagon, Asherah. Whenever they wanted something to go their way, they put up a shrine and a deity to serve. Make the religion the way you want it to be. Way of idolatry, the way of ethical compromise. And one of the fears along the way in the people of God is the way in which they take their faith of a God who has revealed himself and they compromise it with the values of another religion and make kind of a mix and match kind of God. He's very much wanting us to know that those two don't go together. The way of the Philistine is the easy way, it's the quick way, it's also the scary way of what might come in front of us, but it's also the way of the world. And God knew that they were not in a position to meet these struggles with courage. They were a beaten down people. They were not in a position to enter civilization with maturity. They didn't have their own identity yet. They were not formed and shaped by the stories of God and the ways of God. It was simply starting from scratch. And therefore, they were not a people who knew who they were. They knew what they've known, but they didn't know who they were. When God has led you in your own journey of faith, and you started out, wherever that might be, whether you come to faith later in life, or maybe you were raised in a church, but then you still had those moments in which you were now on your own, the choices that were in front of you are ones that you could make and not ones your parents could make for you. Do you see this in your own life? The weaknesses that you may have had, the struggles that you faced that you didn't have the courage to tackle, the lack of the maturity to respond to the crisis at hand, and that you just really didn't deep down know who you were. It's exactly how I see myself. In hindsight, did I think I knew who I was? Oh, yeah. Did I think I was acting with courage and wisdom? Oh, yeah. Time only shows that up to be false assumptions. But I look at my life and I begin to see why God put these things in front of me, why God led me to places that formed and fashioned me in the midst of my failures, in the midst of my doubts, and in the midst of my struggles. We want in this series to begin to see the wilderness as a place of God's presence with us, forming and fashioning us, rather than his sense of exile, his punishment. It's not exactly at all what's going on. God trains us and leads us in the midst of the wilderness in order that we might begin to tackle the struggles that we face on the road ahead. Well, they were led by God's presence all through this. It's a significant piece of the story to start off with. A people who knew very little, a people who came out with very little, a people whose identity was very little, only had one thing going for them, was that God was with them. By a cloud, by day, and a pillar of fire by night. As we'll see next week, as we look at them coming up to the place that is their first and biggest obstacle, the Red Sea. They were led there by God's presence. And we are led as Christians by God's presence day in and day out. We are led by the presence of God and the continuing guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that presence always brings us to a place where we see that without Him we can do nothing, that what lies in front of us is actually an impossibility if we were faced with the decision to take it on our own. The presence of God is the very thing that helps us to see that what lies in front of us is not in our strength or in our hands to tackle, but the very thing that He Himself will tackle on our behalf if we will but follow Him as He leads us into the wilderness and into the desert. As we go through this series, one of the most important things to keep in mind is, do you day in and day out pay attention to or acknowledge that God is with you? That even when it feels lonely, that even when it feels like there's absence there, Scripture says that those who have put their faith and their trust in Christ are led by the Holy Spirit, closer than a brother. His presence is there. It's really the peace of belief that has to be tackled first before we follow God into the wilderness of our lives. We will not willingly choose to go where He leads unless we believe He's with us and leading. God promises us His presence. And it says He did not depart before the people. Begin to reflect as we go along on the wilderness way in your own life, and reflect upon the ways in which God has led you and maybe even leading you now in the midst of things that you would prefer not to have in front of you. But for this week, begin to think about the way in which God's presence is with you, to lead you into truth, to sustain you in the midst of courage, and to begin the process of seeing that God is forming you for the road ahead. It takes time. You've all heard the stories of a kid who comes up to the cocoon of what is to be a butterfly. What does a child do? The cocoon's taking too long. And you rip it open, hoping that the butterfly is inside. Only to see what? It doesn't look very good before it's time. The formation process in the life of a believer takes time. And therefore, it requires of us that we begin to see it as God's place of forming and fashioning us, training us, leading us, in order that we might see and respond to what lies ahead of us with courage, with grace, and with faith. God's presence is here with us and is here with you each and every day of your life. We'll see how quickly they come upon struggle next week. Let's look this week as God's way of leading us away from utter disaster into the struggles of the wilderness in order to form us into the people He wants us to be. Let's pray. Lord, help us to see the wilderness as a place where Your presence is there guiding us and forming us into Your people. And help us, however painful it might be, to look over the journey that we've gone through, and to, at the very least, see it as a place where You never left us, but that You were with us day in and day out, that You strengthened us when we had no strength left, when You gave us courage when our knees were buckling, and when You gave us grace when we failed You miserably. May we see that wherever You lead us, You are leading us there for our good, for our joy, yes, even in the wilderness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.